the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, friends and elite fam and everybody listening. You have found yourself in another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. I am Kylie. That is Tricia. And today we are celebrating a milestone for our girl over here. And she is going to talk about her experience and fulfillment from graduating from college, from U of M. And here's where we will cue Dave to put in like the song, the fight song. And I am so proud of you, sis. Like, I remember when you really first started going back and you were like, I'm doing this. I set out to do this. And we've talked a couple times about the beginning of your journey and where you started and the doctorship and the not doctorship. Yeah. And I am so proud of you that you got through it. And there were so many times where I remember inside my brain, I was like, what? Why are you doing this? Yeah. Why are, first of all, like with the people you had to interact with, I was like, how are you doing this without not getting kicked out of school? Yeah. And you did such a great job.
Thank you.
Kudos.
And you know, it's funny because that's a question I got all the time. Like, why are you doing this? And I want to start the story. I'm going to share some things that I've never shared before. And I'm going to do my best to get through it. With the least amount of feels possible.
Dave, we need some tissues.
Yeah, but I want to share these things because I think that they're very important for people to understand and to understand about me. And it's important for me to share them with the world because I very much, when you're on social media or you're a leader in the community or you're a mom, you know, you control how much access people get to you. And I've been very careful about not sharing some things in this journey because. So I want to start at the beginning and go back to like when I left U of M. So, or even when I went to U of M. So I graduated in 2000 and I started at U of M. And back then I will say that they did not, maybe it was me. I don't know. It's hard to remember, you know, that many years ago. But when I went there, it was an extremely large school. I didn't really have any like direction, like you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. It was just like this open, like, hey, you got into the school, you feel like you should be a doctor, and you know, you're gonna do this, this, and this, and that's how it's gonna go. And
he brought us tissues. Thank you, Dave.
So I remember like when I signed up and when I went, I always felt very lost.
Was it overwhelming?
It was overwhelming. And I think that also what needs to be said is like, I was in a period in my life being that age and where my family was and where I came from that was very tumultuous. And I came from a family where we drank a lot. You drank when you were happy. You drank when you were sad. When 9/11 happened, I came home. We drank. Like, you drank for every sort of reason. And there was a lot of drinking. And then when you go to college, there is a lot of drinking. Mm. And coming from an environment where, like, I went to a boarding school in high school. Everything was very structured. And I was always on this, like, perfectionism, success, like, get straight A's, do everything, get into a top college, get the heck out of Inkster and make something out of yourself because you just want to get as far away from this very chaotic, tumultuous life that you are in. Like, my life at that point in time is I had no control. Things were crazy at home. There was tons and tons of alcohol. I came to college. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no direction. I had a hard time making friends. I didn't really know how to genuinely be myself or even necessarily who I was. And so I partied all the time, all the time. My first year, I still did well in class because I had structured my classes like I was in high school. So all my classes were right in the morning. And then I would get out of class and I would do homework when like all the other kids were just going to class. So I still got pretty decent grades my first year, but they were still nowhere near like the straight A's I pulled in high school. Like in high school, I was straight A's. I had all scholarships to go to U of M. I could never went to U of M without scholarships. I had all of my college paid for. But also like I was going to be a doctor and I don't think there was ever anything in me that wanted to be a doctor. Like that wasn't my dream.
Where did that come from?
I don't even know. I think probably at some point in time, like my parents probably had said something about what an amazing, you know, thing that would be if they had a kid that was a doctor. I don't even know where that idea came from, but it was not my dream. And being there and not having any direction, never really feeling comfortable, never really like feeling like I had actual real friends there, I fell into just partying. And I remember like showing up at exams and they were like, where's your blue book? And like, I didn't even have one. Like I was oblivious to even like trying to succeed in my classes. And I always say my big rebellion is I would come home sometimes. I would come home on some weekends and I would waitress and I would work. And then in the summer, I came home and I ended up when I went back to school, it was my grades got worse and worse. Like freshman year, they were okay. Sophomore year, like I really started to struggle. When I went back junior year, I was on academic probation. Like my grades had just tanked. Like I barely showed up to class. Definitely was not, had any clue of what was going on. Like I was literally failing every single class. And I had partied all summer. Like I always worked though. So I thought in my mind, and I won't say who I got this from, but as long as I'm working, as long as I'm showing up and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it doesn't matter if I'm a mess because I'm still working and I'm still functional. So it's fine if like I'm a mess and I'm failing in class because like I'm working my jobs and I'm still showing up, and just showing up is not okay.
No,
it's not okay. And I didn't realize that at the time. I was a kid, you know, and it was 2003. And the summer of 2003, I found out I was pregnant with Trent. And I still tried to go back to school, but I was now living in a house. I had bought a house in Westland. So I was commuting. So I'm living in Westland. I'm pregnant. I'm driving to Ann Arbor. I'm getting a bus at the big house. I'm going to my classes. I'm completely checked out. I'm not drinking or partying anymore, but I'm just checked out. I'm having to work three jobs.
You're growing a human.
Yeah, I'm growing a human. I'm working three jobs to try to pay for the house I bought, which I should have never bought. There was the next thing. And this baby that's coming and my books, because as soon as I got a job, my parents were kind of like, we're not going to pay for your stuff. You can pay for your books. You can pay for your life. And then when I moved out, it was really like you're on your own. And that was my choice to move out. They didn't say you had to get out or anything like that. These were all my choices. I want to make sure I say that. But winter came around, and it was winter of 2003, and I am huge pregnant with Trent. And I park at the big house. You know, you're commuting in the winter in Michigan.
Yeah.
Winters were really bad back then. And I get on this bus, and I'm crying because I'm just – I'm stressed out. I'm working three jobs. I'm 8 months pregnant. It's the dead of winter. It took me forever to commute there. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And so I dropped out.
There's tissue there.
And it was so hard because everybody's like, you will never go back. You'll never go back. You'll never go back. You'll never go back. And I'm like, no, I will. I will, I will, I will. And I held on to that for a while, but I became a mom and I started raising Trent and I was responsible for this other human and I loved him so much and I just wanted to be the best mom I could be. And that became my only priority in life.
I feel like a lot of times when we come into motherhood, we allow ourselves to be lost in that. Yeah. I think that I know that you are not the only woman who just threw herself into motherhood and just got lost. We lose our identity a little bit when really we're just adding to our identity. And I want to say that in a way to just give Trisha a minute to collect herself. But like, if you're a mom and you're, I have so many mom friends. And it is something that, you know, and I know even dads too, like we have these humans, like you said, that we're responsible for. We love them so much and we just want to give them every ounce that we have. But like, we can't show up for them if we are losing our identity ourselves in parenting, because parenting is hard enough. It's draining enough. And when you don't have those things of your identity that fill you up and like keep you full so that you can continue to pour out, that's very difficult. So like, I feel you there. And then, you know, when we have these dreams and we have these things, they don't matter anymore. And that's what we're told too. Like we talk about, we are told that when you bring a child into the world, you don't count, you don't matter, you don't exist.
Yeah.
And that's not true. That's not true. You do matter and you do have to exist. You don't always come first. But you do count and you do matter, because when you are not present and you don't exist, your kids see that.
Yeah.
And it makes them turn into those kinds of parents.
So true. So true. And I think that what I ended up pivoting into was building my identity instead of being this successful student into being, like I said, the best mom I could be. And that summer, I had also got a summer job at a real estate company.
Here we go.
And I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, back then people didn't talk about mental health. So everybody thought that I was leaving school to just go have this job. And it really wasn't that. It was really, I found something that made me feel so good inside, being a mom and being in real estate. Like my first closing, I can't tell you what I ate for lunch yesterday, but I remember my first client, Sue Mason, and I don't know what happened to her, but she hugged me at the closing table and she was crying and she's like, "You are my angel. I never thought," and this is a grown woman, an older woman. She had claimed bankruptcy, lost her home in the bankruptcy, and she was calling on an ad in the newspaper to rent a home. This is, you know, 2003, 2004, and we ran ads in the newspaper for rental properties. And she was calling to rent a home. And when I told her she could buy, she like just lost it, you know? And she was so excited. And here I am. I'm a kid, you know? I'm 21 years old and I'm impacting grown-ups' lives. And they're so excited. And I've seen that impact and I'm like, this is what I want to do forever. And I went all in and I loved, I can tell you so many of those first clients. Andrea Gallagher, she was a single mom, red hair, paramedic, three kids, came out of this relationship and I helped her get a home. Cora Lawrence, she kept saying, "I'm 75 years old. Nobody's ever going to give me a mortgage. I won't be alive for 30 years. And we got her a home. And it was like all those first clients are just, it was everything.
They're imprinted on your heart.
Oh my gosh, so much. And I wish that we used to have CRMs then, because we didn't have any way we retained information. Like I'm talking, this was back, like we had carbon copy purchase agreements. Mm-hmm. We had MapQuest to be able to get around. So we had no CRMs. We had no storage of phone numbers. We all worked in this office off of our boss's flip phones. I didn't even have my own personal cell phone, I don't think. Maybe like a Nokia, like load up your pay on it. Like that was probably the gist of it.
Pay and go.
But it was everything to me. It was absolutely everything to me. And I loved it. And this isn't going to be about my real estate journey because that's where I'm going into. But I did. It was everything. And I knew that it was what I wanted to do. And I grew that and I grew it into a business and I grew it into a career. And then we started building Elite Realty. And I started to, you know, coach and train and share my story. And, you know, everybody who listens to this has heard us talk about the 411.
Yeah.
And we were at a 411 one day. And we're talking about our goals, and somehow I started talking about my story. And I always would say, like, I have no regrets in life. Like, I've achieved
no regrets.
No regrets. I'm so excited about the life I live. And I'm like, but the only thing I never finished was my degree. And Andy looks up to me and he's like, "So why don't you finish?" And I'm like,
of course he would.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, like you just drive to U of M and they take you back. And he's like, why not? And I'm like, because they don't do that. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, because I know they don't do that. He's like, why don't you try? I literally got in my car, left, drove to U of M. Nothing with me, just to prove Andy wrong. I park.
That says so much about your guys' relationship.
Oh, yeah. I walk into the advising center. Sign up. She's like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, no. She's like, what are you here for? I'm like, I want to see if you guys will take me back. She's like, okay. So they put me in with this counselor. Mind you, the last time I was in this advising center is when I dropped out. When I was sitting in a chair, sobbing my eyes out, 8 months pregnant with Trent, because I dropped out in December. He was born in January. He was born right. January 8th. So I was probably like 9 months pregnant. And I walk in and I sit down and he's like, oh, what are you here for? And I'm like, yeah, I want to see if you guys will bring me back to school. Can I come back to school? And like, I'm excited to say no. And he like, da-da-da-da-da. He's like, yeah, you have 52 credits. You're a junior. Have fun. What do you want to take? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And I'm like, I didn't even bring a piece of paper and a pencil. I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't even take any notes.
You're a junior. You got 52 credits. You're a junior. What do you want to take?
Yeah. And he's like this. He goes, tell me a little bit about like what you're doing. I told him, you know, I own a real estate company and I just literally came in here to prove my managing partner wrong. And he's like, you are going to have the best time of your life. He's like, all your core stuff is done. You already did like
you get to do math, the fun stuff now.
Yeah. He's like, you can now do whatever you want. Like, take whatever interests you. You can do it at your pace. You don't have to worry about student loans. Take one class at a time and just enjoy the process. And I was just like, okay. So he's like, what do you, you know, he's like, you were going down the psychology tract. That was your major. Do you want to take a class in psychology? And I'm like, sure. And he's like, okay, well, like what days and times work for you? And I'm like, oh, none. And he's like, okay,
well, oh, none.
Yeah, let's do this. So he signed me up for just one psych class. And it was a women's studies psychology class. So it was a nursing class, women's studies and psychology. And it was probably the best first class that he could have ever put me in because it resonated so much with me because I'm a mom and I'm a woman. And I got to learn so much
about how your brain works,
about everything, about like you don't know what you don't know. And it was crazy because I actually like part of the class was going through like when women get pregnant, you know, and having your own autonomy and making your own choices. And the first day of class, I will tell you, the first day that I went to class, like I was so nervous. I would go before class and I would park and I would try to find my class because I was like so worried about being late. I was so worried about the one that like shows up and doesn't know what's going on and doesn't read the syllabus and is just, you know, a mess and like does not, like I already do not belong. I'm an old woman in college, you know. These are like the thoughts I'm thinking going in. And my first class, it was a lecture with a discussion. So a lecture, like you're in a lecture hall with like a few hundred people, probably like 400 or 500. It was a big lecture hall. And then your discussion, you're in this room with like probably about 10 to 15 people. It's pretty small. And he had set it up. So I had my lecture and then I went to my discussion. So it was just one day I was there. It was very easy for me to accomplish. And we'd go in this lecture and we'd learn all of these things. And then we'd go downstairs and we would have our discussion. And I remember For the first many classes that I took, they'd always do this icebreaker where they'd have you write your name and then they'd go around the room and you would say your name and you would say some stuff about yourself. And I'm a grown up. I am a public speaker. I can talk to anybody and teach anybody about real estate. And I'm sitting in a class with children and my hands are shaking. My voice is cracking. I am a nervous wreck and I'm like ready to vomit. I have so much like imposter syndrome. I do not belong here. Fear. What if I sound completely stupid? What if I don't know what to say? What if they all laugh at you? They're all going to laugh at you. And I'm like losing my mind in here. And it was like, and again, it didn't just happen the first time. It happened the first many times. But that first time, I remember I said they came around to me. And Trent's in high school when I went back. And I said, this was another thing that was going on, is Trent's in high school and he's starting to say, well, I don't need to go to college. You didn't go to college. Like, you have this great business. I don't need to go to college. I'll just, you know, play high school and like figure it out. Maybe I'll come work real estate. And I love real estate, but I did not want that to be his plan. I wanted him to experience life.
Yeah.
Whether that be college or whatever, I'm just like, no, like, you are not going to, I didn't work this hard for you to do exactly what I did. Like, this was hard. You don't need it to be
this hard.
Learn
from my mistakes, make your own, damn it.
Right. And so they came around to me and I'm so nervous. And I know you hear it in my voice. You see my hands shaking and I'm so nervous. And I'm like, my name is Trisha and I am here because I dropped out in 2003 and now my son is in high school and he says he doesn't need to go to college because I didn't finish, so I'm gonna finish. They all start snapping for me and clapping for me and I'm just like, oh. And they're like, that is so amazing. And like after class they're like,
so supportive,
that is so inspiring and that is so amazing. And everybody was so supportive. Every single day I walked into that class, the GSI was so supportive. The kids, the adults, I should call them adults. I shouldn't call them kids. My colleagues at college, my fellow students were so supportive. And year after year, class after class, it was always like that. Every teacher was so encouraging. Every person in class, when I would speak, was inspired by me. And here I am feeling like I don't belong. I'm not good enough to be here because they speak so academically. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm over here like Billy Madison, like back to school, like got my snack pack. Mm-hmm. And I'm the dumb like big kid in the class, you know, because they were just so academic and they were so cultured. But what I learned over time is I had so much life experience to bring to every conversation.
Yeah.
And I went from being so scared to, at one point, I was that kid in class like raising my hand all the time and I was like dominating conversations, and I had to learn to like pull myself back and like share the show and let other people answer. But it took a long time. Like, it took, you got to imagine, like I went back in 2019, and it took like 2 full years, which is a lot of classes because I'm taking a class every semester, before I felt like I didn't have to research the first day. And I was actually confident when I said, hi, I'm Trish, I'm here, you know, I'm finishing my degree, I'm really excited, I own a real estate company. And I changed my story, I changed my outlook, I changed how I showed up in class. And the teachers and the students, my fellow students, were so appreciative that I was there. And I was so appreciative to learn from them and to learn from that professor. And I loved it. I learned so, like, somebody asked me the other day, like, what was your favorite class? And I couldn't pick one. Because every single class, like, even ones, like, there was one, I was like, I accidentally signed up for this class. Like, this is not what I thought this class was. But I stuck it out and I got so much from that class.
Is that the Romans class?
No, it was becoming digital. And I thought, I don't know what I thought it was going to be about, but it ended up being about like surveillance in the world. And ooh, like, I learned about like our Whoop bands. I did
I remember you telling us. Yeah, I remember that.
But I learned so much.
And you're
much.
Like, the big brother is watching.
Yeah. And you know, like, I'd never been a tinfoil hat person, and not that I am now, but I really became more in tuned with the world around me. And people would start asking me, like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, to become a better human. And I became such a better human from being at U of M. I learned how to interact with the world in such a better way. I learned how to be so much more empathetic to other cultures and people with other beliefs. And I understood like why people respond the way they do or interact with the world the way they do or have the beliefs that they do. And I also learned and came to accept that like a lot of my thoughts were wrong and a lot of the way that I approach life was wrong. And a lot of the things that I was hard and fast about, I knew nothing about and I was really wrong. And it was the most humbling and freeing experiences I've ever had in my life. And it's kind of crazy because I couldn't it's not that I couldn't wait to be finished, but when I got to the end, I was like, oh, thank God. Like,
oh, thank God.
It's been so much. But then I started to think, like, I don't want to stop learning, you know? And there were so many times where I almost did quit. Like, 2020 came around, COVID came around, and I actually withdrew from class. I sent them an email. I'm like, my business shut down. I have no idea what's going to happen in the world. Like, I have to withdraw. And then, like, 2 days later, they were like, no problem, we'll withdraw you. And the semester hadn't started yet. It was a few weeks before the semester, and they withdrew me. And I got an email that said, we could get health insurance from U of M if I was a student. And
that was God.
Dave lost his job, which was where our health insurance came from. COVID happened. He lost his job. We lost our health insurance in the middle of a global pandemic. And God put that email in my inbox and said, Trisha, if you keep going, I will provide. Whether it's insurance, whether it's time, whether it's finances, it doesn't matter what it is, I will provide. And so it taught me trust and faith. And like, there's just so many lessons it taught me. And then when Dave had a stroke and he's in ICU and I was in an entrepreneurship class and I was building out Stars Academy, which is where this whole show came from.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, my husband's in the ICU. I don't know if he's dying or not, or what will happen to our future. Like, I can't keep doing this. But God kept whispering to me, like, do this. Like, do this. Like, finish this. Finish this. Finish this. And I finished Stars Academy. And Dave came out of his stroke. And everything was okay. And I kept telling myself, like, just like I tell myself in workouts, like, if it gets to the point where it is absolutely too hard and there's just no, you know, there is no way you can continue, you can quit, but you're not there yet. And God kept telling me, and I kept telling myself, like, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. And I used it instead as like an outlet, you know, an outlet. And I think this is a good place for us to like take a break, but I have so much more to share. So yeah, we're going to take a break. Stay right there. The story is in the middle, not just beginning, but in the middle. And there's so much goodness to come.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic. But at mystarsacademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit mystarsacademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
All right, friends, thanks for sitting tight. I'm so thankful that you guys are here with us as Trisha unpacks this amazing adventure that she's been on. And if you're just tuning in, or you're just catching us, honestly, you got to rewind, because this unpacking of her journey is not a it's not a situation where we're pushing people in one way or another, or like, it's not a braggadocious. I have personally taken some things from you already, because this is the first time I'm hearing some of the parts of the story. And you know, we tight. Right. We hang tough. So there's not a lot of parts of her life that I don't know about, and vice versa, which is fabulous. Yeah. But I love that we are at the part where we are talking about getting ready to graduate.
Yes. Yes. So I want to give a shout out before I talk about graduating to a couple of professors that really made an impact while I was there, because I think that teaching, like being a real estate broker, can sometimes be a thankless job. Mm-hmm. And I think especially at the University of Michigan, there are so many students there that are so amazing. And I would say the bulk of the students there are so amazing. They're caring, they're kind. If my backpack's open, they tap me on the shoulder, they say, fix your backpack. But I feel like a lot of these professors need to really understand the impact that they have on every single person that is in their class. And talking about Stars Academy reminded me of my professor for that, which is Dr. Fretz.
Yay, and I remember him.
Yes, Dr. Fretz was my first favorite professor.
Was that the one where his pergola burnt down in the background?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So
can you please tell that story? Because
so he used to be a Navy corporal sergeant. He was in the Navy and he was high up on the leadership team. And so he has that background of being from the military. And he was my first professor that was just very straightforward with the people at U of M, because some of them get very coddled and they're very privileged. And that is what it is. And they'll grow and they'll learn and that's fine. But I think that there's something to be said about a professor that comes across and goes, you're not that important. And you're going to get out on the real world, and if you don't figure out how to work an Excel spreadsheet, then you ain't gonna get that job, you know. here's what credit is. You need to build your credit. He taught them about building credit, about being a real entrepreneur. It was an entrepreneurship class, because I ended up picking up the entrepreneurship minor about halfway through my journey. And the professors in that minor, like if you're going to U of M or you have a child that's going to U of M, I highly, highly suggest taking some classes in the entrepreneurship world, because those professors are professors that have been entrepreneurs, that have been boots on the ground, out in the world, in the trenches, literally as Dr. Fretz was, and figuratively in business. And Dr. Fretz told it how it was. And when Dave had his stroke and I was building out Stars Academy, he's the one that had me build out Stars Academy. And he said, take time with your family. And I said, no, like I can take time with my family and I can be there for Dave, but I can still teach my classmates what it is to be a real entrepreneur and power through in the hard times. Now, again, like Dave was in ICU, but it wasn't like day to day we thought he was going to die. Like, I don't want you guys to think I'm a cold-hearted, awful wife. I was there every day, and at night I would go home and work on these things, and he was only there. This was only like a couple weeks. It wasn't months and months and months. But I was able to teach the kids in my group, the adults in my group, my colleagues, what it was like to be a real entrepreneur. And sometimes you have to put aside your personal stuff, no matter how big it is or how traumatic it is, if you can, and take care of the team. And that's part of being a leader. And I was able to show them that. And Dr. Fretz actually had me come back and speak to his class a couple of years later. So,
oh, yay.
Yeah. So last year I got to come back because he loved our project. We got to pitch it to VCs, venture capitalists, and raise funds for our company and do all of these great things. Like, he really believed in us and he really pushed us forward. And I had never been in a pitch competition. And again, that's where my cracky voice, shaky hands came in. And it was very humbling too, because even though I had made it in business and became a business owner and owned my own business, I hadn't been in venture capital. I hadn't pitched billionaires to try to get money. Like, I was on real life Shark Tank, you know? Yeah. And it was such a learning experience. And one of those things where, like, no matter how good you're doing, you can always do better. There are always bigger things out there. Like, you want to find it, you will find it. And it was
seek
such
and
a
ye
great
shall
movement.
Find.
Yeah. And I learned so much from it. And so shout out to Dr. Fretz for pushing me even further than I already was, giving me the grace to have time when I need it, but also like bringing me back to share my story. Because when I came back to share my story, I don't know if like he was busy or what he was, but like he didn't realize that I was going through what I was going through, other than I had emailed him and said, hey, I was in the hospital. And he's like, you take care of it. But when I came back and shared my story, he was like, wow. Like, wow. And I was like, that's what real entrepreneurship is. It's not, will you get kicked in the face? It's when you're going to get kicked in the face and how many times, and are you going to keep showing up? Keep showing up. And like, if you can like take a theme from this talk, it's to keep showing up. Like, I had to keep showing up no matter what happened. And the pergola story is, we were on a Zoom for our team about Stars Academy, because he would check in on us and he's talking to us. And I think it was an AC unit that like had overheated and it caught on fire. So we're like, there's smoke behind you. And like, he lived in this amazing house and it was like on the side of like not a mountain because we don't have mountains in Michigan, but it looked like a mountain. And he had a pergola behind him, and the AC unit had caught fire, and it caught the wooden pergola thing. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Yeah, pergola thing on fire. And there was a fire raging behind him on the Zoom while we're trying to, like, tell him about our project. And it was just, like, it was wild. He's like, but he was so composed. He's like, excuse me, I need a minute. And he, like, puts the screen on.
He was in the Navy. So, like, yeah. I've learned things from being friends with Bevan is military people can keep their poop in a group.
Yeah.
I will tell you that right now.
For sure. And then the next professor I want to talk about, which brings me to kind of the end of my college journey, is Professor Fraden. And when I got to this last semester of college, At U of M, when you go to the College of Literature, Science, and the Arts, so I was going to be a doctor, so that's science. So I was engaged in the College of Literature, Science, and the Arts. At each university, there's different colleges in the universities. So Literature, Science, and the Arts is for doctors. Business, if you're going into business school, you might be Ross School of Business. You might be in the nursing school if you're going into nursing.
There's the law school.
Yep, the law school. So with Literature, Science, and the Arts, you have to have 4 years of a foreign language. Now, when I went to Michigan Lutheran Seminary, that is a to be a pastor or a teacher. So I learned Latin. So when I went to U of M, I started in Latin. So I had 2 years of Latin. And at U of M, when you are doing a foreign language, you have to go to class 5 days a week. Now, I have moved from Ann Arbor to Clarkston, and the only thing I have left is my foreign language. The drive to U of M from Clarkston during rush hour is an hour and a half. So to take 5 hours... 5 days a week to finish my foreign language, I'm like, I just didn't understand how I was going to do it. And so a professor had reached out to me, or not a professor, my new counselor. I got a new, they like switch up your counselor, your academic advisors every once in a while. And I got a new academic advisor, and she had emailed me, and she's like, anything I can help you with? And I was like, yeah, I have no clue how I'm going to do this. No clue. And she's like, well, she's like, you can petition for an exception because you have not a disability, but you need an accommodation. You need an accommodation. She's like, your accommodation isn't a normal accommodation. It's usually like a learning accommodation or something like that. But you have specific circumstances that are going to make your life bad, for lack of better words. Again, I'm still not academically able to speak. There is definitely a much more academic way to put this forward. But, like, it would have majorly inhibited my mental, physical health and my life to try
sit in traffic for 3 hours.
Yeah, and then go to school. So, yeah. Like, I would have, like, literally probably lost my business if 5 days a week I had to devote 5 days to school. When am I working? When You're am not. I working? I'm not able to. So I applied for this exception, accommodation, and they go, you got it. And I like had to write a whole essay. I had to go through this whole process. And thank you, U of M, for being accommodating.
Absolutely.
Because there are things in your life that aren't mental health accommodations or physical health or different things, but you still need an accommodation. And for those of you that are like, ah, it's soft to need an accommodation for something. No, sometimes it actually saves your life. Like, I needed that to be able to finish something that was extremely important that I devoted now 24 years of my life through, you know, with a little gap in between. So my accommodation was you have to take 3 classes in about Rome, about ancient Rome.
So they didn't make you take that last Latin class.
Nope. So I would have had 2 more years of Latin because I had 2 years of Latin. I would have needed 2 more full years of Latin. So I had to take 3 years about ancient Rome. The first class I took about ancient Rome, I got to do it online because it was in the summer. Mm-hmm. And then fall, I was like, you know what? And I hated that class. I'm just going to be really honest. I hated it. It was stupid. The quizzes didn't have anything to do with the stuff that we learned in our conversation. So I was
a summer class.
Yeah, I was just not looking forward. Like, I felt like the professor gave us like 10 books to read, and I said this in his
feedback.
I said I felt like I learned nothing, and you made me read 5 books because you wrote them and you wanted to make the money off of me buying the books. And you know what? Professors need to hear that. I got nothing from the class. You made me reread the same crap. I'm killing myself reading hundreds of pages every week. I'm reading like 500 pages that are just repeating themselves of the most boring of the boring of the boring crap about Rome. And you know why I know that it's not supposed to be like that? Because I went into my next semester, my fall semester, or I'm sorry, yeah, my fall semester. And I had to take my last two classes in Rome. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to take them both. And I also want to shout out my elite fam because I was so scared because I had to take two full days off of work. I had to take all Tuesday and all Thursday off of work to be able to take two full classes at the same time. I had always taken one class per semester and I had to take two. And the way that they were set up, it was going to be all day Tuesday, all day Thursday.
Which was kind of perfect.
It was. And I ended up getting the same professor for both classes, and it was Professor Frayden, and she is my favorite professor in all of my years at U of M.
So fun.
She was amazing. And any of you people at U of M that get to take a class, I had no wants to take this class. I
because of the bad experience
class.
You had.
Yeah. And I'm like, what am I going to learn? Like, oh, more about how Caesar Augustus was Caesar Augustus. And he went to, it was just a bunch of dudes going to war and fighting and losing. Like, it was just stupid. And so I showed up at the first day of class, just not really into it. And she was amazing. Like, every day we just talked and you never felt like, you never felt like you were right or wrong. Like, there was no right and wrong in her class. It was just having conversations about super interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like every day I was excited to be in her class. And she was so positive.
That
always
makes it
positive.
That really makes it.
Oh my gosh. She was so positive and so exciting. It was the best. And I loved it. Like, I was sad. In my last class this year, like, she was so awesome. And I brought my niece Michaela to class. I said, can I bring my niece Michaela to class? Because I want her to see what college is really about. Because if you have high schoolers, have them listen to this too. Because when, like, Trent was in high school, he didn't really like school. It just wasn't his thing. He loves hockey. He just wasn't, he didn't, he's a great student. He just really didn't like it, you know? And he didn't
really. It's a completely different world, though.
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted Michaela to come to U of M. I said, it is so different. It is nothing like high school. It is nothing like middle school. It is nothing like any of the school you have in K to 12. When you go to college, it's such a different experience. And being a part of these conversations, and she would make it fun and we would have a good time. And it was just so great. And there was no like worry about if you were going to be wrong or right. And there was no worry about, is this going to, are people going to think I'm stupid? And you could really think outside of the box and ask all the questions and feel comfortable. I felt so comfortable asking anything. Like, what about what this? Well, you know, I think about it like that. And I had such a different lens than other people in class. And it had such great conversations. And I loved it. And it was the best way to close out these years. And so amazing. And I was like, literally, I finished it. I'm like, I would just love to be her best friend. I don't know if professors are allowed to be best friends with past students. But I was. And then I applied for graduation. And it was such an amazing experience applying for graduation. Because they're like, check your final transcript. And I got to go and look at it. And I seen in 2003 where it said, you know, put on academic probation and withdrew. And then I seen in 2019 where it said restarted. And every single class that I had from the time I re-enrolled till the time I graduated, I got a 4.0. Every single one, whether it was hard, whether I had 500 pages to read, whether I had 25 deals I was doing and 15 agents were quitting and Trent had practice and he had a tournament and I'm traveling, no matter what, God helped me find a way to get an A+ and make myself feel proud. And those were some of the first moments of my life that I felt proud of myself, because no matter what was happening around me, I was able to get that A. And not because I wanted to be perfect, because I wanted to show myself like I did belong. Like, I did deserve to be here. I was worthy of this success. And like, you know, you were talking about those conversations you have that change your life. And one day I was walking out of Elite Realty and Andy looked at me and I don't know what we were talking about. And he's like, why don't you feel like you deserve the success that you have? And that resonated with me so much. And I started saying out loud, I deserve better. I deserve this. And you will hear me now say it. I never said it before in my life. And I'm like, I deserve these A's. I deserve to be successful. I deserve to take this time to study. And there were so many nights where Trent's studying and I'm studying. And when he was struggling, I would feel this mom guilt that I couldn't sit and help him because I had stuff to do too. So I paid for tutors. I figured out a way. I paid for tutors and he got online and other people helped him study. And I still studied. And there was times where he had practice and I'm running my cards, my flashcards while he's practicing. And I could feel proud that while he's chasing his dreams, I'm chasing my dreams too.
Yeah.
And I get to realize, like, he said one day, he's like, I don't know how you do it, Mom. Like, you go upstairs and you study for so long. And I could never do that. And I said, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can. Like, if I can do this while I'm building a business and running a home. Like, at this point in time, when I started back at U of M, Angelina was a baby. Trent was, like, well, Angelina was probably, she was young. She wasn't a baby. She would have been, like, in grade school and middle school. And Trent's in high school. And when I first started, Nikki still lived with us. And we had a billet at one point in time. So at one point in time, I had four kids, plus all the hockey kids, plus all their friends, plus. And I was still able to be a great mom. Like, that's one thing I pride myself in is I've always been a great mom. Like, I made all the spaghetti for the hockey players. I brought a billet son into my home and had him like he was my own. And I was at every kid's everything, every tournament, every concert, everything. I was there. But I was still able to get those A's and make myself proud and chase my dreams too. And I want people to hear that because I think it's so important to hear that you don't have to sacrifice everything to still show up for your kids mm-hmm. and your household. You are able to do both things at one time. Both things can be true. And that was one thing I loved about being at U of M is when I stepped on that campus, I wasn't a mom. I wasn't a coach. I wasn't a broker. I was just Trisha. I just got to be me. And that was my first experience of learning what I truly wanted and who I truly was, because I had built being a broker and a business owner and being a speaker and being a mom, and I didn't know who I was or what I wanted. Or like I said, when I got to choose what kind of car I got to drive, what kind of car do I want to drive? What kind of food do I like? Who am I really? And I'm still figuring that out. I'm 43 years old and I am a great coach to other people, and I'm still figuring out who I am. And I think that that's important to grow together and to understand that, like, all those things can be true at the same time. Like, you can be a mess and still have people learn from your message, and you can still, like, be growing and help other people grow, because where you are at, other people need to go to, and you can still get yourself around bigger and better people. And that's what I got to do so often at U of M, is being in those rooms with those professors mm-hmm. who had already, you know, grown 1,000-person corporations and raised venture capital for huge businesses. And they were brave enough to say, I failed so many times and I kept getting back up. And I learned to feel comfortable with failure too, because yeah. that isn't the end of your story. It is not the end of the story until you quit. And I'm like, listen, getting a house for a first-time home buyer who needs concessions and is MSHA is hard. But 100% of my clients get homes that don't quit. And that is true in life. You will succeed 100% of the times that you don't quit on that dream and that goal. And learning that just was everything. Like, my life has completely changed, and my family's lives and my children's lives have completely changed because I did that. And I applied for graduation in December, and Trent decided he was going to go play college hockey. And so we started applying at schools. And one of the parts of applying at schools is you got to write an essay.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, I'm helping him out with a lot of the stuff because he's in Ironwood. He has no internet.
Right.
So, like, some of my friends were like, must be nice. You're helping your kid. Like, I had to do that by myself. I'm like, listen, if he had internet, I'd be making him do it himself. But he's in the middle of nowhere. And I've been there. There's no Wi-Fi.
There's literally nothing.
There's nowhere you can go for Wi-Fi. So I'm helping him. And I said, but you got to write this essay. And he goes, okay. I said, write it and text it to me, and then I'll pop it in for you. And so he writes it all out, and he sends it to me. And this is where I start crying, because his whole essay was about how, you know, he always dreamed of playing junior hockey, and he thought that when he got to junior hockey, like, he had made it. And then he's seen me go through college and keep going, and now I'm graduating, and it made him start to think that if college was this important to finish to his mom, maybe it's something that he should check out too.
Mm.
I was just like, it's one of those things where like, one of the things I always thought in the back of my mind was like, one day I want somebody to write a speech about how I encouraged them and I inspired them. And here's like the biggest accomplishment in my whole life is Trent. And he's writing this paper about how I inspired and encouraged him. And this is where I feel like I did arrive. Like I finally did. Like,
full circle moment.
I accomplished something so great to encourage him to do something that like he didn't really think would be part of his plan. And I didn't think it would be part of my plan. Eventually, all those people who told me you'd never go back, like, I accepted that as my truth. I fully believed I would never go back. And I would tell people all the time, like that just wasn't in my plan anymore to go back until I did. And I still think that in my mind, even though I was there and I was doing it, I don't know that I ever believed that I would fully finish and graduate.
Yeah.
And when it came around to my graduation day, it was like,
surreal.
It was so surreal. Like, even as I was lining up, like, I'm in the cap and gown.
And with your coat on.
Yeah, with my coat on. It was freezing. It was so cold. And I'm in my cap and gown. And I will tell you guys, it wasn't this picture-perfect moment. Like, there's kids that are puking because they party too hard last night. And kudos to them to party too hard and still make it. And there's kids that are doing shots of Fireball. And they're bros that are being total jerks and getting in my way and occupying the bathroom. And thank God we were reading the Let Them book. Because at one point during the graduation, there's kids that are standing up for something that they believe in. And I am getting mad because I worked so hard to get to this one moment. And you were standing in my way of watching Derek Jeter. And I just stop and go, you know what, let them. Like, we are all on these very different journeys to come to this place. And whatever that looks like for you, that looks like for you. But for me, I needed to stand up and move out of that first seat that I picked and to a different seat and listen to Derek Jeter talk about choices and the choices that you make. And he talked about how, like, his family is still out in the crowd cheering him on. And my dad was there, and my mom was there, and Trent was there, and my sister Nikki was there, and Dave was there. And all of these people who meant so much to me, and I'm so happy that they were there. And for a long time, each one of them were a different why for me to get to this day. But at the end of the day, like, I was sitting in that seat to make myself proud, to finish what I started, because I had embodied this identity of somebody who finishes what they start. And I wasn't chasing like a diploma or a moment or even graduating. I was chasing fulfilling that real identity that I have built, because one of my core values is integrity. And how can I have full integrity and say finish everything you start if I didn't finish that?
Yeah.
And so it was just such a great moment. And I wanted to share that because if the 2003 version of me could see me today, like, she'd be like, no way. Like, how did you even get there? Like, it just wouldn't even make sense. Like, I just never, ever thought that I could get to where I am. And I have so much further to go and so much more growth to do. But I want to let everybody know, like, you're never too late. And grit and your journey doesn't always have to be loud. Like, I shared little pieces about this, and a lot of people don't know a lot of my story. And that's why I wanted to share it all, because if you've left something behind when you were in survival mode, it's not too late to go back and choose that for yourself and use the people around you to help get you there. But remember that it's for yourself, and it's okay to be for yourself, and it's okay to be doing it for just you, because you deserve that. You deserve that.
Wow, T. Holy smokes.
I knew this was going to be hard to do, so thank
you. Oh, dude. I am even over here so glad for the 49 layers of foundation I put on this morning, y'all. Let me tell you. Thank you so much for breaking that all down. And I hope that someone out there listening, even if it just reaches and touches one person, that is why we sit down and we do this. We want you guys to understand that like Trisha said, it is never, ever too late. And you've now got my brain going of all the things. Because I feel like there are certain things that we do leave behind when we are in survival mode. Everybody goes through a season of survival mode. I don't care who you are or where you come from.
Yeah.
If that is something that's on your heart to pick back up and go do it, go do it.
Yeah.
I love that your whole thing started out with, I got in the car. I drove to Ann Arbor just to prove him wrong, just to show him. And the guy was like, yeah, where do you want to start? And God was like, boop, here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go. So not only did you set out to prove Andy wrong and all those people who said you were never going to go back, you proved yourself wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I did.
And you did it. And you did it. And there's so much to be learned from this that I am so glad that you unpacked this. This was such a special episode to my heart. I love you so much, I am so proud of you. I remember seeing your lives on graduation day and like looking at them and just remembering my own journey through college and like the dreams that we have for our children.
Yeah.
And we love you all out there. And if you would just, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, please sub the show. We love bringing you these truly substantial, like, heartful, like we really pour our hearts into these shows. And this is our passion project. You guys are our passion project. And we love you so much. And we thank you so much. And make sure that you come back next week because we drop a fresh episode every Thursday here on The Elite Life.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on The Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.